This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, J. Randall Murphy is telling us he saw aura, plain as day.
Well, I mean, if you look at most religious events, they occur in like an altered state. I mean, you only have to look at like biblical accounts. You know, somebody goes out into the desert and communes, you know, with the angels or with God. That's almost like a shamanic thing, you know. So deep in South America, the shaman goes out into the rainforest, you know, and communes with the gods. But there's not really that much difference to George Adamski going out in the Californian desert and claiming to have seen this long-haired alien named Orthon. The parallels are so similar, you know, and so many, you know, world religions are sort of born in similar circumstances, you know. I mean,
but strange experiences happen, but you know, we're always left with this same question again: whether it's contactees or abductees or witnesses themselves, that if there's any revelation to be had, it's not something that we haven't already heard before or that's new. You know, it's not something we can't figure out for ourselves. For example, you know, there was a big anti-nuclear, pro-environmental aspect to the contactees. Well, we know this. We know nuclear weapons are not very good for our world, and we wish we didn't have to have them. We don't need to be told that. You know, what we need to be told is how to maybe perfect anti-gravity or something like that so that we can figure out how to solve more of the problems on our world. Tell us something we don't know. You know, that's what we need. And same with people who, you know, do psychedelics to gain some sort of knowledge. The knowledge that they come back with is never anything that we don't already know. That's the problem.
Well, it is, but then the way I would answer that is, we're looking at it from our own perspective. We're looking at the issues you brought up with our own perspectives. Whereas I think, you know, their line of thought, their mindset may be completely different to ours, you know. I mean, I'll give you an example. You know, you might own like a nice cuddly little pet dog, you know, sort of sits on your couch and has his belly rubbed, you know, and licks your hand and everything else. But then he happens to see like a mouse running across the carpet and rips it into pieces. This friendly, nice little dog suddenly changes. And now for us, you might think, oh, it's a mouse. You know, you might, if you're an animal lover, you might try to find a way to catch it and put it outside. But this, you know, your friendly little dog becomes something else because its mind is so different. It doesn't have that, you know, sense of, well, shall I save it kind of thing, you know. It just switches. In other words, the dog's mind, you know, in some respects, you know, they are very similar to us. But then they have this wild side as well. We know it's wrong to kill people. Other animals do it for food. You know, they slaughter a little, like for example, a lion in, you know, on the African, African jungle, slaughters a little animal, takes it back home and gives it to its family. It loves that family. But it doesn't stop it from, you know, tearing apart another animal. And that's because, and we kind of look at that from the perspective, we don't really fully understand that because we cannot understand fully the mindset of that lion or of that dog. And I think we're trying to understand these entities from our perspectives, not realizing that they're kind of like the dog who's one day, you know, he's 1 second just having his belly rubbed, you know, and eating his dinner, and then he becomes a killing machine. We don't understand that. And I think that's how it is with the aliens, whatever they might be. we're not fully capable yet of understanding.
But the thing is, we do. We understand perfectly that nuclear weapons are bad for us and that the environment we should take better care of. And these were big messages. They spoke in perfect English to people. And this is what I'm getting at. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but we need something more like maybe what happened in the movie K-Pax, where, you know, if someone is channeling or appears to have some sort of an intelligence from another place or dimension, something alien, that it can say, okay, this is where my star system is. You guys have never seen it before, but if you tune your radio telescopes to this frequency and point it at the sky there, you'll get our signal. That's what we need.
Well, we do, but I mean, you know, we haven't really had it. I mean, you could also take John Keel's approach that, you know, he felt that, yes, there is like some sort of, you know, huge intelligence, but it's totally insane. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's what Keel kind of came to, you know, towards the end of his life, that yes, this, you know, all these phenomena are real, and there's something behind all these things, like Bigfoot, UFOs, Mothman, and they're all created in some way, you know, by some superior intelligence, but that super intelligence has totally lost the plot, and, you know, it's like just crazy, and just performs war scenarios and tampers with people and manipulates people and creates scenarios for them just because he can and because it likes to do it. You know,
don't we kind of do the same thing with each other, though, and to animals ourselves? Yeah. Like, how do we know? Maybe, like what you were saying, you know, that these beings could be from some other dimension and that we just think the aliens are them, but they're not. But maybe it's the other way around. I mean, maybe these aliens have all the technology and ability that they need to mess with us to make us think that. I mean, they've got anti-gravity. They seem to be able to get into our minds. If you can control nature and get into people's minds and levitate things and make them see whatever you want with, you know, holography or whatever it happens to be, there's really pretty much nothing that you can't make a person assume or think. You could make all of these phenomena appear to be completely real to people.
Oh yeah, you're right. And I mean, you know, holographic, you know, technology is sort of going ahead and ahead. I mean, if you just Google like military applications, holograms, you know, you'll see all the, you know, the advances that are being made and, you know, to try and confuse the enemy, you know, just 200 tanks on the battlefield that actually aren't really on the battlefield after all, you know.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
We had recently Gary Voorhees on, and who had experienced part of that whole Tic Tac episode, and we presented the question to him. Well, do you think that this could be something like some sort of advanced countermeasures, where something like radar spoofing and some sort of holographic technology might be used to fool the enemy? And this all happened during a training exercise, and he goes, "Well, you know, it could be. So who knows?" What do you think?
Well, you're right. Yeah, and I think that kind of goes to a lot of UFO experiences where it does seem sort of, it's never like a really just a normal event. It seems magical. It's almost like an altered state, or you know, the person isn't really sure what's going on, or if anything is other than a bizarre dream. I mean, you look at things like, like I said earlier, like with George Adamski going out into the desert. I mean, you know, why not just meet, you know, I don't know, a hotel lobby?
Yeah,
or in your house.
Exactly. Local
but the
coffee
fact
shop.
But the fact is, it's in the desert and it all revolves around communing and isolated situations, which, you know, you can dig out the Old Testament and put it next to a George Adamski experience, and there isn't really much difference, and there is this sense of kind of, you know, this sense of isolation kind of creates almost like a dreamlike situation as well, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I think, you know, far too many people in ufology are in the Donald Kehoe kind of mindset still.
Donald Kehoe. I met him a few times in days gone by.
Did you really?
I did. Nick Redfern, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I've been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So yes, Nick Redfern, I did meet Major Keogh in the 60s and the 70s. I interviewed him for a magazine once. Well, actually, a supermarket tabloid, and it was their last issue, so I never got paid for it.
I think I probably had my pacifier still.
Major Keogh was set the standard for traditional UFO speculation and paranoia.
Well, that's the problem. Well, that's the problem, and you made a good point there, traditional ufology. Traditional ufology, as I see it, is just like, you know, dead as a dodo. I mean, what I would really like would be to go to a UFO conference. I would love to be able to go to a UFO conference, but put on one of the major groups, and you've got somebody talking about the latest on Roswell, and then you've got somebody talking about Aleister Crowley and Lamb, and then you've got somebody talking about, you know, the latest of the whole ATIP group, and then after that, you've got somebody talking about Jack Parsons and ritualistic magic to do this and do that. Then have somebody else talking about the potential for aliens to be found in outer space. And then somebody also talking about DMT. I mean, to me, that would be a major development in ufology if you could have a Roswell researcher sat next to a DMT researcher. Then, as I see it, that would really start, we would really starting to be, make, you know, good leaps, if you like, leaps and bounds even. Of course, it probably won't happen, but I mean, you know, it would be cool to see, you know, like I say, a DMT guy next to somebody talking about the latest on where the dead aliens are stored or whatever.
Yeah, it might be an interesting conversation, but personally, I'm totally 180 degrees around on that. I mean, you know, I love your books and stuff, and because you're such a good writer, I just enjoy them. I can eat them up like candy, but it's like, for me, I think ufology needs to focus on something and have a definition for it that lets people know what that is and that sets it apart from all of this other stuff, which is just as interesting in its own right. But I don't think that when we're talking about trying to figure out some kind of an alien craft, that we're necessarily talking about a spirit from another dimension. Yeah, I think we need to stick to one thing when we're talking about UFOs and say UFOs are UFOs and the occult is the occult, and they can maybe all get together at a paranormal conference. But I'm not really sure that there's room for the occult at a UFO conference. And I think that's actually what drives me nuts. I'd be fine with everything you're saying if they called it, you know, the paranormal or a psi conference or something like that. But to mix ufology in with all of the rest of it is, to me, just, it muddies the water for where we're trying to figure out. Are there any alien craft or are there not any alien craft? That's the question.
Well, for me, blending all these things together would be the greatest thing possible. It would be like the exact opposite of your approach.
But it'd be a lot of fun.
I mean, the main reason why I think they are interconnected is because if you look at the situations going from the past to the present, I mean, you know, if you look at the stories from, say, for example, England, so say in the 1500s when belief in fairies was rife. You know, people today, they think of fairies as like little Tinkerbell-type characters, you know, with little insect wings and flitting around the Christmas tree or whatever, all that kind of nonsense. But if you look at the old stories of fairies, you know, they were actually sort of potentially dangerous, sort of small creatures. They would break into people's homes in the night. They would take men to the fairy queen's domain, and he would have sex with the fairy queen because their civilization was starting to die off and they needed to build up their stock. And, you know, when the experience was over, the man would come stumbling out the woods thinking that just an hour had gone by and, you know, 2 days had gone by. Those are classic scenarios of fairy lore, but they're also classic aspects of alien abductions, little creatures missing time, isolated locations, and the fairies had to beef up their stock and the aliens steal our DNA because they're dying off. There really is no difference.
Yeah, sure. There's room for mythology in ufology and in ufology history. And there's certainly a cultural aspect of it. There's no doubt about that, for sure.
I guess what it comes down to for me is that you know, as a kid, when I was sort of 10, 11, 12, when I started getting to like Brad Steiger and stuff like that, it was all black and white and straightforward. I actually kind of pretty much gave up most of the extraterrestrial aspects a long time ago. I'm not entirely sure at all that the UFO phenomenon is extraterrestrial. I'm far more inclined to think that the UFO phenomenon is sort of paranormal and with occult overtones attached to it.
Interesting. Well, it is from a cultural perspective. For sure. I mean, that aspect of it, everything you just described can be, say, if we were to take ufology and put it into an academic sort of discipline, you'd have this main heading of ufology at the top, and then you'd move down, and then you'd have UFO investigations, and then you'd have all where people go and interview witnesses, figure out what the sightings were, see what sort of material evidence there is. But then there's this huge cultural aspect of it as well that actually really does take into account everything you were just talking about. Maybe it sounds like now I'm doing a complete 180 here, but it is probably one of the most, if not the most interesting facet of it today.
You know, something we can argue also, if we're going to twist the argument, that the UFO mystery and all the other paranormal phenomena out there, they all hang on the cultural aspects because that is part of what's going on.
Well, it is because, I mean, I think a lot of that's because we're human, you know, and, I mean, it might sound simplistic, but it is, you know, because we are all hardwired the same, I guess.
But it's also connected through all of these different threads. And anyone, and of course you've been in it long enough to do this and have written enough about it, you can see all of those threads. There are connections that seem to unify the whole thing. It's really quite amazing. The longer a person is into it, the more that they tend to see.
I wanted to ask Nick, and we'll go into this in the next segment, we have two left, about the fact that he's still getting MIB reports. This is 2020. And I'd like to talk briefly about the form of these reports. Are they the traditional types that we heard in the past, taking on a new slant? Who knows? Very, very prolific writer, Nick Redfern, the one and only J. Randall Murphy, and some guy recovering from a cold named Gene Steinberg. And one more thing, Nick will be back on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, available exclusively to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. Check the Paracast.plus. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A Red Cross official says water is covering roads in flood-hit northeastern Oregon, and they're finally starting to recede. That will allow residents who've been evacuated to return home and check out the damage. Pendleton Police Chief Stuart Roberts says several places were really swamped.
Primarily it was two trailer parks and then some adjacent single-family dwelling homes. The number has not been verified, but somewhere around 200 compromised by high water, anywhere from 6 to 4 feet.
Also, many roads are still closed by landslides, flooding, and fallen trees in parts of Washington state. In Wuhan, China, the first American has died from the coronavirus. The official death toll there has risen to 780 people. This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, what to say about the end of the previous segment, where Nick Redfern became a broken record, where the needle stuck on the last groove, the last groove, the last groove. Back to Men in Black, Nick. Can you give us kind of an overview of what's been going on lately?
But before I get to sort of the specific subject, I think it's important to know that, you know, if you write a book on any subject, I guarantee you'll get feedback from people who read the books, you know, whether it's on Men in Black, Loch Ness Monster, Is Hitler Still Alive, the History of Hollywood. You're going to get feedback from people who read them. And that's primarily how I still get my MIB cases. It's not because, you know, I stumble across a case from an old book or whatever. It usually is along the lines of, you know, somebody reads the books and then they contact you through the publisher or through your blog or whatever and say, I wanted to share this with you. So, you know, there's nothing kind of unusual about that happening. What is intriguing is that in relation to the Men in Black, and this is why I've been able to write sort of five books on the subject so far, or four on the Men in Black and one on the Women in Black. The reason why is because people contact me. But what's interesting is that people still describe the Men in Black today as they were back in the 60s. Black suit, white shirt, skinny black tie, sort of 1950s fedora hat. So they kind of look, you know, still look like they stepped out of like a 1950s gangster movie or whatever. But the big difference between us and them, so to speak, is that the MIB, the people still share their stories with me today. Those stories revolve around MIB that look very weird. You know, so I call them like the Kiel era Men in Black. You know, pale skin, the skin looks almost like Botox to the max, you know, bulging eyes that they hide behind these sort of wraparound sunglasses, They don't seem to understand our mannerisms, don't seem to be able to talk properly, don't understand what food is. And they seem to have occult overtones. People talk about weird things happening in the home after they've left, like sort of just bizarre things going on, like electrical devices blowing out and things like that. What's interesting is I hardly ever get reports of the men in black today, even looking like normal people. Nearly every report I get is one of these sort of mannequin type, robotic types.
Do you think they're connected maybe to this control mechanism that Veli talked about? Do you think there is a control mechanism?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting scenario. You know, I sometimes wonder, you know, if you look, for example, the first Matrix movie, particularly out of all the, you know, all of the Matrix movies. But, you know, in the first one, you've got these sort of the agents, as they're known, you know, who are the men in black, basically, if you watch the Matrix. Mm-hmm. And they're inserted into the Matrix, into the program, you know, to prevent us all from discovering the truth that we're actually all living in a dream world. So you could make a case, you know, that the men in black are sort of like a controlling factor, keeping us all in place and making sure we don't really pick up on the big picture, you know. And, you know, I wasn't overly keen on the second and third Matrix movies. I think they went on too long. But I do sometimes wonder if, you know, the Matrix and the agents in there, you know, the Men in Black, I sometimes wonder, you know, are we actually pretty close to something along those lines? You know, I don't think we're literally all living in a dream. But I do think there's something to the idea that reality isn't all it seems to be, and that maybe the Men in Black somehow have a role in ensuring that the, you know, so the world as we see it continues to be the way that they want us to see it. But maybe there's a bigger picture that we're not seeing, and their goal is not so much to frighten us, but to just prevent us from finding that real picture that kind of eludes us.
Totally. You're definitely like, there's a bigger picture for sure. And we don't see it. I think anyone that's in this long enough knows that. I mean, okay, we've got craft coming from another star system. There's the interstellar hypothesis, but that, even if that's true, there's still a bigger picture that we don't know, that we don't understand exactly what it's all about. And by the way, yeah, the Matrix, the original, probably one of the best movies ever made, and this is my opinion. Fantastic. The other two, like you say, they're good in their own way. They have some interesting points, but the first one was the real breakthrough for that. Mm-hmm. And the rest just seemed to try to take all the good stuff that was in the first one and do more of it as if that would make it better, but it didn't really seem to do that. It's just more of the same and a lot less of the new.
So that was, of course, the phenomenon called Hollywood sequelitis, where they say, oh, we could make money. We could make money on this. We have product. And they do. Of course, the worst offender is Star Wars. Sorry about that, folks.
Well, one movie that I think did this really good as well, and actually before The Matrix, was a film called Dark City, if you've seen that one.
Oh, yes, definitely. They even used some of the same sets. In Dark City for The Matrix. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're on the same page there for sure, Nick.
I mean, if people haven't seen Dark City and they wonder what the Men in Black look like, the real Men in Black, watch Dark City, because that's how the real ones really look. You know, they're sort of pale and they've got these old, you know, hats and black suits and black trench coats and sort of skulking around at 2 in the morning or whatever.
Yeah, they can go floating through the air. Kiefer Sutherland is in that one. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, I've got that one on Blu-ray for sure. Definitely a good one.
By the way, Dark City as a movie didn't do very well. Okay, $27 million gross. That was it. That was the box office. And one of the people involved, David Goyer, was also a producer for the later Batman trilogy, you know, Batman Begins, Dark Knight, etc.
Well, it should have made more. That was a really good film. So.
what something else here. Of course, the film may have been too far ahead of its time. Sometimes you get things like that, where the concept is way beyond what people are watching.
It was interesting that the Dark City was actually made. Was it just like 1 year, I think, before The Matrix? And anything else, I will not comment on it.
Well, what can I say? What can I say? We can go on forever, and we've got like another segment or so to converse with the one and only Nick Redfern, author of 26,000 books since yesterday. We've been talking about the Men in Black, a phenomenon that still persists. And for listeners who may not have asked the question before, have you met some Men in Black lately, Nick Redfern?
No, I haven't, but I do know quite a few women who dress in black, so... But they're goths. That's a totally different thing.
Is goth still a thing? I thought that was like an 80s and 90s thing.
No, most of my old girlfriends and latter-day girlfriends have been goths. So yeah, there's still a thriving goth scene out there. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm. Actually, for people who may be interested, I live just outside Dallas, about 20 miles away, and in just a few months from now, Bauhaus are reforming, and they're playing their first gig at Dallas.
Oh, wow. How many years has that been?
Well, they're all about six. All the guys are about 60 now, I think, and I'm sure they got like a really good deal because they're playing two gigs. I think one is in California, I think, but the other one is definitely in Dallas, and it's just a few months from now. And
you're going to check it out?
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Hey, cool is the break. And then we'll have one more segment to spend with Nick Redfern, the one and only, with Gene and Randall. And Nick, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$6,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
This is Big the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. Exactly according to my plan.
As we were talking, I did check the Box Office Mojo site. Dark City grossed $27,200,316. It costs roughly that amount to make. And a movie has to gross 2 to 3 times the production cost to begin to approach to make a few dollars. So this lost a bundle.
Wow.
Yeah, I could kind of see that. It's still a good movie. Like, if you're into that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cult really classic, cool. For sure. Yeah, not everybody's into the cult classics, but it's definitely...
It's not unusual for movies or TV shows to take off long after they end. And we forget the original Star Trek lasted 3 seasons, barely held on, had middling ratings, and was forgotten until they brought back the characters, the same actors with a cartoon. Then someone I knew started sponsoring Star Trek conventions, bring back some of the actors who got no work since Star Trek, and suddenly we had Star Trek the motion picture. And now we've got Star Trek Picard.
That looks good, actually. I'm looking forward to checking that out. If it's the previews of it are to be believed, it looks definitely like it's worth checking out. But getting back to your books, Nick, this is one we haven't covered yet in our talks. Bloodline of the Gods, Unravel the Mystery of the Human Blood Type to Reveal the Aliens Among Us. Now, let's get into this a little bit, because we've heard people, say that this is going on, but what did you find when you were writing about this?
Well, yeah, this is actually one of my most popular books altogether, Bloodline of the Gods, and it kind of looks at the, it sort of looks at the angle of Rh negative blood. Rh negative people are in very much like the smallest percentage of all, when it comes to blood groups and so on. Over the years, research has been done particularly into a lot of abductees, and it's been found that many of the abductees, far more than others, have Rh negative blood. It basically means they sort of lack a particular protein. The phenomenon is really weird. It can be very dangerous if you've got, like, for example, Rh negative, Rh positive person, man and woman get married, they have a baby. It can cause a lot of problems, you know, with the Rh negative aspect. The woman's body actually tries to kill the unborn child because of the difference in the from Rh negative versus Rh positive. And a lot of abductees have been shown to have Rh negative blood as well. And so it's been sort of suggested or hypothesized, if you like, that there may be some sort of connection and an ancient lineage going back a long, long time that's maybe sort of revolving around things like manipulation, genetic manipulation of ancient humans, that kind of thing. So that's basically the thrust of the bloodline of the gods.
How does the science behind it stack up? Is there an explanation for this, or do the scientists figure that this actually had to be something that was engineered out or in somehow?
No, I mean, in fairness, you know, it doesn't have to be something that was genetic, that we know for sure was genetically, you know, engineered by aliens. There's no proof of that. And there's also no proof as to why everybody should not be Rh positive. You know, I mean, the figures are actually extremely low. Or, you know, across all the various human groups across the planet, the figures for being Rh negative are extremely low. Now, we actually don't really know why everybody isn't Rh positive. There's no answer really as to why some people are Rh negative. Now, that doesn't necessarily, of course, mean, well, we've got to say it's aliens. You know, we don't have to say it's aliens. But it's still a puzzle, though, as to why that is the case. You know, the angle of, you know, a small percentage of the population being Rh negative and a small percentage of the population being Rh negative and abductees as well. You know, at the very least, it's sort of an intriguing scenario, put it that way.
I would just say this, that I was once married to a woman who was Rh negative. I was Rh positive, and there was an attempt at having a baby, and the medication that's prescribed for it was taken, but I don't want to get into the raw details there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it can be a very tragic situation, unfortunately, for some people, you know, particularly in relation to pregnancy. And it's a very, very strange, you know, situation, the idea of sort of manipulated humans and genetically changed and altered. But, you know, I'm not one of these who sensationalizes things, I hope. You know, you mentioned earlier, you know, is there a way of, like, a down-to-earth explanation? There is. But the down-to-earth explanation is some people are Rh negative and some are Rh positive. The problem is we're not sure why it happens. You know, you might as well say, why does somebody have color that the hair of this color or that color and so on, but it's far more sophisticated and difficult to understand than something like along those lines. We just don't really get it, you know?
Right, because it goes so far back.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's interesting is that if you look, for example, at the Basque people in Spain, well, the Basque people have one of the biggest concentrations of people being Rh negative. For most people, the figure is round about 7-8% of the population all around the world is round about, you know, those figures for Rh negative figures. However, for the Basque people in Spain and portions of France, percentages of Rh negative people there is actually around about 30-40% are all Rh negatives. Now, what's interesting is that some of the early humans, like Cro-Magnon, Neanderthal, they were actually had, you know, high levels of presence in those same areas, Spain and France. So this has given rise to the theory, and probably a correct theory, that many of the early humans were themselves Rh negatives.
Well, there's certainly some mysteries about where the human race has come from, and the idea that aliens have had a hand in our evolution over the years isn't particularly new. And I don't know. I don't think we can entirely rule out that there's maybe been some sort of influence there. And it's not just strictly natural evolution that we're dealing with, because there are a number of these oddities in our evolution.
You know what? This is about the end of our segment here. Running out of time. The clock on the wall is saying, Nick Redfern, please tell our listeners, if they want to know more about you, where do they check you out? That's what it says I'm looking at now.
All right. Well, I have a blog called World of Whatever, and that's nickredfern14.blogspot.com. You can reach me at Twitter, nickredfernufo, and you can also find me on Facebook as well.
Thank you, Nick. And, of course, when he gets his next group of books out, he's going to be back for it. As Arnold said, he'll be here. Anyway, I don't want to do the Arnold thing. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. But right now, about the only things I tweet are just the show updates, because there's so much competition for the rest. Don't get me started. We're on Facebook, to official Paracast fan clubs. Isn't that cool? One's a community, one's a group. We have the Paracast shop. That's the domain, by the way, the Paracast.shop. We offer four types of branded merchandise, T-shirts, small pillows, things like that, hats, whole bunch of stuff. And it's still a work in progress, but I think you'll like it. Take a visit and tell us what you think. Go to theparacast.shop. Let me give you another domain we own, theparacast.plus. Of course, that's our premium subscription service where you get this show free of the network ads, better quality audio, except for my cold, which will not change. And you also get the After the Paracast podcast where, as they say, you never know what's going to happen next. Sometimes we don't either. We also have guests who didn't appear on the main show, or guests who have appeared in the main show and decide, because we hoodwinked them, to stick around for another 30, 40 minutes. All this excitement and more available for prices starting at just $1.50 a week, $1.50 a week. For more information, go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. Nick Redfern, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
All right, thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771.
for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.